It's okay if you missed your favorite show. Podcasts are ready. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here.
This is Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000.
On Twitter at ESPN 1000, where we have a Twitter poll live right now. Would you like to see Aaron Rodgers come down to Chicago for a season, lead the Bears, lead and help Justin Fields? I don't know. Is that a pot? It's not a possibility, really, in fantasy land. But, you know, we want your thoughts. If you want to jump on here, 312-332-3776. I should mention that Brian is on Twitter at Brian Hanley 534. And I'm on there, Xander Rocker, all one word, one R in the middle. And that's a Z, not an X. People want to put an X in front of my name, which is kind of cool. But it's a Z. It's a Z. And we've got Matt on the phone. He's been hanging a long time. I think he wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers and him coming to the Bears, what he thinks here. Brian, here's Matt from Streamwood. Hey, Matt, welcome in to ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my phone call. Hanley, so in your thing, you're with Justin Fields would be behind Aaron Rodgers for a whole year. Is that what your scenario would be?
Yeah, well, I mean, remember what the plan was? He was going to be behind Mike Glenn or the Red Rifle was going to be his mentor for a year. I mean, Matt Nagy's grand plan was not to show him the field the entire year.
Wait, you said Matt Nagy?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I understand, but don't we have to make like our decision by year three for this for Justin Fields if he is the quarterback or not?
You have to pick up the fifth-year option on a rookie quarterback. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I just think it would be horrible for the poor kid to like wait a whole year because he played for 10 games, then take a pause for a second year, and then go year three, maybe be the quarterback, you know, if Aaron doesn't want to be here, which most likely he won't because he probably demand a trade because we're not a quarterback away from winning anything with this team. And my second point is, Haley, if I may ask you a question about Allen Robinson, do you think he is going to get that $20 million contract that he's seeking? You think he's going to be closer to $15 million?
Closer to $15 million, and you know that. Look, you have to project what he would be on a good team with a legitimate offensive line and an all-star quarterback or a Pro Bowl quarterback. The numbers are probably down because of the team he's on, but in my world, he's not getting even then. He's not Devontae Adams, right? He's not in that class. So good luck. I know what he wants, and I know he's disappointed to make $17 million on the franchise tag. But I think he's going to
see. That's actually good for what he's probably worth at this point.
Yeah, I think there's a reality check coming for him, too, and what the league is going to think about his talent and how they value it.
And you think that we burnt our bridge with him because of this year, because he had that one touchdown. Regardless if it was like the Bears and, let's say, Jacksonville giving him $15 million, he would choose Jacksonville over us just because he's that upset.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think he's as good as gone. You know, Hicks is obviously going to come back. The bigger questions are, what do you do with Khalil Mack? You know, what are you willing to do once you get the GM and coach in place to start rebuilding this thing? Because you've got the cap issues. You've got so many holes to fill. Do you have to just admit that it's going to take some time here and you give up on some of the guys you actually want to watch right now to fill holes and you know, get this thing accelerated so it's a couple of years instead of 4 years?
Yeah, thanks, Matt, for the call. Matt and Streamwood there. You know, you bring up a good point, Brian, in that, okay, let's say we get the GM and the coach right, or as right as we possibly can with all things considered. You know, is it time to just admit that we are not anywhere close and we just have to start from the ground up, with the exception of the quarterback position?
Well, Mark, if Aaron Rodgers is gone from Green Bay, and Kirk Cousins has one more year on his contract in Minnesota, now there's talk they could trade him, but, you know, given what he's being paid, I don't know that. Yeah, I assume he probably sticks around. But the division's now in play, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're still better than Detroit. You should be anyway. Mm. I don't know that Jordan Love just steps in there and you pencil in or ink in 13 games like the Packers have won each of the last three seasons. So even though we know all the issues the Bears have, and they have a whole list of them, if Justin Fields is all that and stays healthy and you can start putting some pieces around him, Let's put it this way. You won't need the league to put together a pandemic playoff spot like the Bears got last time.
You won't need that gift.
No.
Right.
And where they got all 9 points because they scored a touchdown on the final play of the game. I mean, what an embarrassment that was. So Aaron Rodgers goes, how many games do the Packers win next year? Right. In double digits. Are they a 9-win team, an 8-win team? They have, you know, we talked to a Packer fan who called in. They have salary cap issues as well. Yeah. So it's enticing to think, even though you have heavy lifting to do, you could win a division if you got incrementally better and you actually had a coach who could scheme things up and score 24 points or plus on a regular weekly basis, right? Unlike Matt Nagy.
Mm-hmm. So you're basically saying, you know, put the right pieces in, but not a wholesale rebuild. You know, maybe try to keep a Mac. I think we have Quinn sewed up for another year, right?
Right. I mean, look, okay. You're not going to win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years.
No.
But you could win the division
if
Aaron Rodgers is packed up and ready to go somewhere else.
But if the if we do that, you know, I don't know if that really equals sustained success or
no.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, okay, do we try to go for a divisional championship, or are we going to rip it down and build it for sustained success? Because I don't think Jordan Love's going to step in and have success like Aaron Rodgers did after Favre left.
Right. I don't either. And believe me, Aaron Rodgers, somewhere will be snickering if Jordan Love, you know, stumbles along his way there, because
of course maybe, he will, because that's Aaron.
It'll be, I told you so. You know, what did you go draft that guy for when I can still do at least get you 13 wins a season? Look, I think the division's in play, and I think you're at least better in Detroit, arguably, you know, with Minnesota going through its coaching search and everything else and not knowing what their quarterback of the future looks like. You could be in a better spot than Minnesota without too many, you know, great moves, assuming you get, again, if you hire a defensive coach, then you really better wow me with an offensive coordinator, because this league is all about offense, even though you didn't see much of it in either playoff game yesterday. But if you can't put together a weekly basis where your offense can get you three touchdowns plus, you're in trouble. And that did Matt Nagy in, because he couldn't do it.
And he was the offensive guru. All right, we were told. So everything, all things considered, what we just talked about, 312-332-3776, do we make small, thoughtful changes, maybe not long-term success, but knowing that Aaron may not be back, do we strike while the iron's hot because the division is winnable next year, thinking we have the right GM or coach, or do we rip it down and build it for a longer-term, sustainable success? 312-332-3776. Cullen is in Vegas, and he wants to talk about the gold. Hey there, Cullen.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, good. Good to be gold, huh?
Indeed. It's a good day. There's nothing better than the Packers losing at home in the playoffs. A former Bear destroys their season. He literally kicks them out of the playoffs.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. So that was a great game. I was talking to a Niner fan of mine, and he's a Niners fan, and he was just like, dude, we were never supposed to win. We were never supposed to win. How did we do it? I'm like, you know, you're coming in at the right time. You've got you're coming in hot, and you know they took advantage of it. So good on them. And you know, I don't ever see the Bears getting Aaron, because that would cost an arm and a leg that they don't have and they aren't going to have for years to come because of the decisions that one Ryan Pace has made.
Right.
And
I'd rather money go to a stud of a coach.
Yeah, stud of a coach and a stud GM and a stud offensive line. Some people that can actually protect our quarterback and wide receivers to throw to, so we can stop running John Shoup's offense and stop, you know, passing the ball on third and one instead of running it. And, you know, so we'll see. I have no faith in them, but we'll see.
Right. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Coming from Vegas. Yeah.
Yeah. The props to our guy, Mike North, on the Odds Couple. He gave out San Francisco plus the 5.5. And that was his big play of the weekend. as soon as the Packers went up 7-0, I went to my sportsbook app and in game wagering, I got plus 9.5. So I had to make up for the money I lost on
the Tennessee game
on Titans help. Yeah. And speaking of coaching, I mean, Mike Vrabel, Mike North tweeted out, you know, here's another guy who doesn't kick the PAT and they don't make it. And instead of being up by a point, they end up losing on a 52-yard field goal in the final play of the game because, well, Ryan Tannehill, no damn good. And they shot themselves in the foot time and again to that. And, you know, as much as Robbie Gould was the star up in Green Bay for all Bears fans, how about the rookie kicker for your Bengals there, Mr. Zander?
Yeah, that was really nice to see. And Tannehill, I mean, he had a couple of moments, but, you know, Burrow.
He had three interceptions.
Right. But, you know, again, a couple of moments, but the three interceptions and Burrow performing, even though he'd been shown his back 9 times, is just. It's still mind-blowing.
Well, believe me, they're going to get their butts kicked next week.
Yeah, and they probably will. They probably will.
No matter whether it's Kansas City or Buffalo.
Yes.
But, you know, I know Cincinnati tweeted out, the Bengals tweeted out, that's why you draft a kicker, because, you know, they spent a number one pick, I think, for a kicker. But I did see this, Evan McPherson, the rookie kicker, who they said has got ice in his veins, had a couple practice kicks right before he trotted out there. And and before he even got left the sidelines, he turned to a couple of the guys on the sideline and said, well, I guess we're going to the AFC Championship game. And then went and drilled a 52-yard field goal.
Not bad for a rookie.
No, that's pretty good.
Not bad. I like that attitude. You know, we're going to preview what's happening today when we come back, Brian. We'll talk the Rams and Buccaneers, Bills and Chiefs tonight, the Rams-Buccaneers early game starting at 3 p.m. Well, that's Eastern time, actually, 2 p.m. here, Central. It's Zander and Hanley. If you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. This is ESPN 1000. All right, Brian, before we get into what's happening today with the early and late game in the divisional round for the NFC and AFC, we've got an issue here in Chicago in that we do not have a GM or a head coach for our team. We've talked to about 1,300 people so far. I don't think Jim Harbaugh was contacted. Didn't he tell the press that he's never received any contact from the Bears? Isn't that correct? I thought I saw that.
Well, he certainly hasn't been interviewed. The Bears at least have been transparent about everyone they've talked to or plan on talking to. And I know that some speculation has him ending up in Las Vegas because that would be a very Raiders thing to do. And Harbaugh would love to be that guy to go out to the out west and take care of the conference that, you know, he wasn't good enough for, even after all the success he had in San Francisco.
We've got Mac on the north side. I think he wants to sell us on Harbaugh with the Bears. Hey, Mac.
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Yes, Jim Harbaugh, head coach. Then you have a chance of getting Vic Fangio back as your defensive coordinator, because as far as I can tell, he ain't on anybody's short list for a head coaching job. And then, of course, go get consider Lewis Riddick as the GM. That's my thoughts. If the Bears want to restore the fans' confidence in them as a franchise, if you don't have Jim Harbaugh on your short list, then I'm not sure I can sustain any confidence in this franchise because it's really limited right now.
The only thing with that scenario is I don't think Lewis Riddick wants to have Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh would come in with wanting to have maybe the last say in personnel moves, not only a say, but, you know, first and last. And I'm not sure Lewis Riddick would want to have that as he tries to run an organization. You know, if you get Sean Payton, and I know you can't call Sean Payton because his phone's off, but if you could, it'd be tampering, one. But if you could, you know, put feelers out, talk to Jeff Ireland, see if he could figure out what Sean Payton's future is, then you have your GM basically, right? I mean, Ireland shows up with the title, but Sean Payton, as he's done forever down in New Orleans, is the personnel guy too.
And it's worked.
Yeah. So then you can pay the $15 million a year because you're basically giving two salaries to the guy doing two jobs in Sean Payton.
Thanks for the call, Mac. You know, the idea of having Harbaugh here with Riddick, as you said, doesn't make any sense. And I haven't really so many people have talked about Lewis Riddick. But he hasn't been, if they're being very, very transparent. And
he's not on the list.
You know, he's not on the list. Have we heard that he's been connected to anybody else?
Nope. Not that I've seen. And no, I don't
there's
know
a chance
what
that he
says.
Just doesn't want
these
to get out of his, you know, his comfort zone. On
the thing about Lewis Riddick is that you don't necessarily have to announce Lewis Riddick until you've interviewed him. Like with all these other ones, you have to request the ability to interview. So you don't have to do that with someone that works at ESPN.
But do you think
same thing with Jim Harbaugh. You don't have to request per se to interview Jim Harbaugh because he's a college coach. He's not affiliated with the NFL right now.
Do you think Lewis Riddick is in play for several teams?
I would say he's going to get an interview. I mean, he's gotten interviews in past cycles. I believe he interviewed with the Texans last year, among other teams. So he'll definitely get an interview, I'd imagine.
Okay, of these teams, maybe he's looking at this list and saying, you know what, I'll be the hot commodity next year too, and I'll wait for a better list. Maybe it's Minnesota or whomever.
But
it's
did say Chicago was a primo gig.
Yeah, he said he'd listen to Chicago.
Speaking of the Texans, Josh McCown? I mean,
he was a rumor last year, I want to say, too, because I think he had a late interview.
He interviewed him last year. And look, I mean, you know, Jay Cutler said that Josh made him a better person because that's who Josh is. He's a wonderful guy, a great teammate. Really? I mean, could you just a guy who coached a high school football team? That's your experience. You're just going
to. Yeah, what would that say that they're just trying to save money with all the people available?
Yeah,
that's weird. But then again, people might have been looking at us how many years ago when we hired Nagy. There are other people available.
Go to Trestman. I mean, come on now.
right.
Yeah, I mean, Josh McCown was a quarterback 2 years ago for the Texans. Yeah, I would say, I think Josh McCown could be a head coach one day, certainly. But him just go from being a backup quarterback to being the head coach of an NFL team, right, albeit a very dysfunctional one, too, I don't think that's the recipe you want.
Missing ladders in the rung there.
Tyler, you and I talked about Ron Rivera started as a quality control coach, basically a volunteer coach with the Bears. He didn't even get the $15 an hour that Olin Kreutz was offered, I don't believe. He started
charity
as low
work,
as
you know.
He started as low as you can start to start his coaching career. And, I mean, he bottom rung, and he put in the time and the effort and everything else, and he's been pretty successful. I mean, he's still around doing
it. But he did go step by step. He didn't jump any rungs on the ladder.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, it's just, especially with all the issues you got in Houston, you know, the quarterback wanted to hire everybody until his off-the-field stuff came to the fore, and we found out about all the lawsuits and everything else. So even though you don't question his talent, you wonder when he's going to be in an NFL game again. Yeah, to now you stand up there as the owner and announce Josh McCown? I mean, write that check for the season tickets down there.
And
good
listen,
luck.
I'm not against this is the way it's always been, so that's the way it's got to be. But I think it is, especially in the NFL, it is pretty steep to go from being a quarterback from 2 years ago and then not having that coaching experience. Although, I will say in the case of Josh McCown, he kind of has been an extension of a coach out there for the last, probably 5-7 years of his career that he played.
Okay. All right.
But I'm still with you. I think you do have to go through the process. But it's not like I'm against young coaches. In fact,
Josh McCown's
older than some of the coaches. He's older than two of the coaches that were coaching last night.
No, I got that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we all sit here and say, well, college coaches don't make the transition in the NFL very often. You know, go talk to Urban Meyer and talk to people in Jacksonville. How'd that work out? Even when they have great success at the college level. It's just a leap of faith, right? Maybe he can put together the best damn staff you'll ever see, and I'll be sitting here 5 years from now going, that was an inspirational hire. And they are thinking outside the box hire. But, okay, why wouldn't does he not like the Bears? Everyone else would be interviewed. Did he not pick up the phone and call, you know, George McCaskey since he, you know, played here and said, hey, you know, if you're talking to everyone else, I'd like to have a Zoom meeting with you or come in town.
Well, you know, Brian, what Tyler said, the insight of him having been on that team for so long and kind of acting as a de facto coach on the sidelines, that gives him a leg up. but certainly maybe some of the big names want no have no interest in going there because of the mess they would be taking on. And maybe that's the decision that they have to make internally because they have them there and he has some insight and he has a lot of association over the years as opposed to getting new blood in and saying, this is a mess. I can't do anything. This is too much.
Mark, the dysfunction in Houston is totally different than the dysfunction here. The dysfunction here is the family thinks they know what they're doing and they don't.
Right.
Down there, it's a bunch of stuff that's out of your control. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is still appeal to this Bears job. I mean, when you hear people around the league talking about, and we've said, one thing you get is time, right? Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace got 7 seasons or whatever. Matt Nagy, even though the last 3 seasons he couldn't string together 3 touchdowns in a game, let alone 3 weeks maybe.
Sure. Arguably, he had enough time.
He should have been launched at the end of last season. And there was Ted and George saying there are football guys and, you know, we need to see improvement, but, you know, they're going to collaborate and it's going to happen, and it didn't. But one thing, you know, that the McCaskies don't fire people in season and they don't fire people after one season.
And it's Chicago and it's the Bears. There's a lot to like about this job.
Yep.
And you're right. The mess down in Houston is much worse.
It's a whole different world down there. I mean, good luck.
312-332-3776. Dean wants to talk about what happened on the Bengals-Titans game yesterday. He's downtown. Hey, Dean, good morning. You're on ESPN 1000.
Good morning, guys. I will get right to that, but I wanted to say the argument for what you guys were just saying is that it's happening more and more in the NBA and MLB. I don't think those are coaching leagues, quote-unquote. The coaches in those leagues are like glorified babysitters. They're basically coaching egos and personalities. In the NFL, X's and O's and scheme matters so much, you know, in football that's just my opinion. Like fastball players, you know, they win and lose games, and the coaches, I could take them or leave them. That's just my personal opinion. And I'll get to my Titans point in a minute. I just wanted to say also, Matt LaFleur, that's 2 seasons in a row now, guys. Questionable calls are, you know, under his watch that the season has ended with some pretty weird stuff, you know, that decision-making last year in the playoffs and then this. So if I were a Packer fan, I would not be happy, but I am happy because I can't stand those.
Well, celebrate your happiness.
And by the way, Byron Westbrook is still 15-1 on DraftKings to be the next coach. So if you like the Bucks to lose today, which I think they will, that's a good wager to put on DraftKings if you like that. And to my Titans point, I was watching the game yesterday, and at halftime, you know, I heard Boomer say it during a break, I think, and I heard him say it at halftime that you never go for 2 unless you need to. I don't have one strong opinion on that against it or one way or another. But I do think that you never, ever give up an opportunity to take the lead. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was telling my friend, I go, you don't think there's been games in this league that have ended 7-6?
Absolutely.
So it's just, continue. Sorry.
Well, Mike Vrabel said he's going to be the head coach down there for a long time to come. I'm not so sure because as Mike North tweeted out, all these guys with the analytics, and now it's in vogue. You know, River wrote Ron Rivera used to go for 2 all or 4th downs all the time, and now that's the thing to do is go for 2-point conversion. You saw it blow up in Baltimore, kick the damn point. I know that they had a flag, and it, you know, the PAT was going to be that much farther, but you kick the point. I'm with you. Take the lead.
I think they should have done that, but I hope that he doesn't get dragged through the polls on this. Because I think that team is tough. They're an extension of him. They are smart. I think he's a smart coach. You know, people can say what they want about that decision. And I think they are tough as nails. So I hope they don't get rid of him. I'd kill to have a guy like Mike Vrabel. You guys enjoy the games. Take that.
Thanks, Dean.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he's going to hold on to his job. But he is going to take some lumps for this.
I thought you could have run the ball all day if he wanted to. And they did it in spurts. They did it at times, but they didn't commit to it early, certainly.
It did not seem like they did it enough. Absolutely.
No, they did not do it. In my world, they didn't do it enough. You could control both lines of scrimmage. You could have beat, you know, and Joe Burrow and that offense wasn't going to get going if you pounded him into submission with the 9 sacks And if he just, you know, pounded their defense into submission by running the ball. But again, you don't get credit for running the ball in the NFL.
No, no, it's not fancy. No, Matt Nagy doesn't like it.
Nope. He's not an idiot. He knows he needs to do it more, but he never did it more. So
312-332-3776. Back to take more of your phone calls, and we will preview what's happening today in the divisional round in the AFC and the NFC. Yes, football Sunday. This is ESPN 1000. All right, Brian, we've got a few games to preview today. We've got the Rams and the Buccaneers, 2 p.m. start. Anything change for you on that game?
No, as I told you yesterday, a little leery that I think 65% of the people wagering are taking the points in the Rams, and that was my inclination and still is.
Okay.
But, you know, I think the Bucs should be favored by, you know, four and a half in that game. So it almost seems too good to be true. That's why I would take the 2.5 and be, you know, think the Rams might win outright. So,
you know, on the crawl, on TV, just glancing earlier, I saw that this talk is starting again, which it happens every year with Tom Brady. Yeah, you know, he's considering retirement after this season. Now, is that just, at this point, isn't that just a given every year? I'm not sure if he talked to somebody and said that or if this was just another assumption. It's a solid assumption. The man is...
If he wins another Super Bowl down there, I would say the odds are more likely that he, you know, hangs it. I think he wants to hang it up on a winning note, right?
Sure. Well, of course he would, yeah.
Right.
But it'll be interesting if he would hang it up if he doesn't win.
I mean, because the guy looks like he could play another 10 years now. Right. You know, that's the TB12 supplements and the whole system. And I don't think he's had a slice of pizza in probably 10 years.
That's a sad existence.
Isn't it?
I mean, look, I get the success. I get the money. I get all of that. But take pizza away. Wow.
Well, I think all
sugar are in all of his diet. I have no idea how the guy, you know, can do that. I mean, good for him.
I think Olin Krutz tweeted out a week or so ago, it's good to be Tom Brady. I mean, like, the entire life it was good to be Tom Brady, right? And he's a young man still. So whatever he does post-quarterback career, it's going to always be good to be Tom Brady.
You know he's going to pig out.
No.
Wouldn't it be great, though?
Oh, yeah. All of a sudden,
down the line, he's about, you know, he's 70 pounds heavier, eating pizza, going out to bars, drinking, just being the life of the party.
Do you think Giselle would go for that?
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Hey, Tom, the third helping on dinner, we don't need that, okay? Let's push yourself away from the table there.
Yeah, 180. All right, so we've got the Bills and Chiefs tonight. Chiefs are giving up a point, and I've got the Bills all day.
I got the Bills, and as soon as if they can hang another, you know, 7 touchdowns on like they did against New England, Brian Daboll better be on speed dial from Hal Saul.
Again, hire him at halftime.
Yeah, I would have hired him again.
I know you would have. I know, but you know, today we just have to let the first half go by and then put him on speed dial. Have Bill Polian call him, not Ted Phillips, please.
Oh, please, okay. Please.
We're going to go to Greg in downtown. He, I think he wants an El Presidente. Greg. You're on ESPN 1000.
Sir.
You want a president hired, huh? You know that would be more money for the McCaskies.
Yes, sir. I mean, I don't get it, man. You sit there on TV and say, I don't know nothing about football, but the football guys just report to me. You know?
No, you're like, right. It's as plain as the nose on our face. Absolutely.
What idiot does that, man?
He's uncomfortable with the quarterback conversation. Matt, wait, don't talk to me about that. You're the
head coach. But report to me about everything else.
Yeah, they report to me, even though I'm just a fan.
Help. Right.
Hey, so they can report to me.
That job.
Yeah, but it's Greg, it's another $10 million that they would have to spend. And
well, Greg, what are you willing to work for? If it's you know, if you're willing to take the job, more than the $15 an hour that Olin was offered, I would think. But yeah, you can, you know, report to him too, or they report to you, right? Yeah.
Right, exactly. I figured the only way we're gonna get something done is we get lucky. Because they definitely don't
that's
know
a plan.
How to pick nobody.
Yeah. That's a plan.
I mean, that's the only luck we got.
That's all we got.
Is to somebody good get through the other teams and land in our lap.
Oh, boy.
That's it.
That's where we are. So that's why we're celebrating the Packers' misery.
Yeah, because... thanks, Greg.
Oh, yeah. I don't like the 49ers, but last night I loved them.
Yeah, all of us. We all did. Thanks, Greg. It's as simple as that, right? We do need a president. They're not going to do that. They're just not going to.
Well, I mean, you can call him whatever you want. President, czar, GM.
Look, give a football GM the title of president, whether it's
president
official or not.
Ops,
it doesn't matter.
Keep
Ted out of there and keep George out of there.
Yeah, but here, Greg's right. I mean, here comes, boil it down to we got to get lucky, because what is your confidence level? Now, again, the lists are thorough and exhaustive and pretty good. I mean, when you see all the names and possibilities, right, for both GM and head coach. But then Greg says, well, guess what? We just have to get lucky, because you don't have any faith that the guys sitting in the room or on the Zoom meetings can sort through all the information they're being given and the answers they're being told and figure out who's the best is a head coach group and who's the best in the general manager group.
Right.
You got to get lucky.
It's the people asking the questions that are really the problem. Yeah. And there are a couple of TBAs on this list for GM. Rick Smith, who has been talked about many times, ex-Houston Texans GM.
Yeah.
That's intriguing. Omar Khan from the Steelers. I really appreciate what they've done down there, even though they made an exit this year. Those are TBAs so far. JoJo Wooden from the Los Angeles Chargers, Director of Player Personnel. On the coaching side, it looks like we had a couple maybe yesterday. Todd Bowles, if things went as planned, and Dan Quinn. And we have Dennis Allen from the Saints this Tuesday. But aside from that, the list is complete.
Yeah.
We'll see if they add more names.
If you're going down to the Saints, just get me Sean Payton, and then we don't have to worry about GM or coach. We're good to go.
Right. What would we be willing to give up to make that happen?
What
is the league rule on draft pick? Would it have to be?
It's just negotiated.
Okay. So it's not an automatic first rounder or second round or anything like that.
No.
It's
negotiated. I mean, but look, if the guy doesn't want to come back, so you can't say,
right. You can't make him come back. Sure. Yeah. So you might as well get something for it.
Yeah. You're not saying we need a first round pick.
Right.
You can ask for the moon. But Sean Payton is either not going to coach in New Orleans, and then he would have, I would imagine, a very short list of teams he'd be willing to go to. Mm. I don't think he's showing up in Houston or Jacksonville.
Right.
So, you know.
And this being home, it's got to be attractive, I would think.
I would think. And, again, if you could bring Jeff Ireland along and he can do all the paperwork and you've worked well together. But, you know, Sean Payton's been the guy calling the shots down there on and off the field.
Right,
so.
Right. Yeah. And it's been moving that way in the NFL, right? Where you have more of a... Now, let's look at what's happening in Pittsburgh. You would think that Mike Tomlin's calling a lot of the shots, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah, I would hope so, too. I mean, and that's when we talk about Brian Flores, it seems like that would be kind of the model of which he wants to step into a situation like that, right?
But he's not Mike Tomlin. I mean, Brian Flores has had a winning record for three
years
in Miami.
No, he certainly isn't. But I'm saying because there are deals like that around the league.
Well, the problem with Brian Flores, if you listen to the ownership in Miami, is that his personality is that he rubs people the wrong way because he wants to tell the GM what to do or the owner what to do or the rookie, not the rookie, young Tua what to do as a quarterback, which is fine because you're the coach.
Right.
But there was a reason, and again, Miami's not exactly the organization you would hold up and have many teams in the league aspire to be them. But it's surprising he's out there, given the success he's had with the stuff he had to deal with down there, right?
Right. Do you have any prediction? I know that you had said last week that you thought that maybe things would start turning over Wednesday. Is there another time marker this week that
I'm not going down that road.
We won't hold it against it. But
I figured either Flores or Dable or that one of these guys would be hired by now. Flores certainly busy. Yeah. He's not in the playoffs, right?
Right. And it is surprising. We don't know what to attribute that to, but really only one GM has been named, and that was for the Giants, Joe Shane.
Yeah. And that scares me that he's going to go and get Dable, but he might get, Leslie Frazier. But, again, your GM has to be comfortable with your head coach and have the same vision, right?
Right.
So
it has to be, and we've had the reverse happen several times here. We just cannot afford to move forward that way.
And now that it's taken as long as it's taken, I'm going to guess they will name the GM before they get to the head coach, and that's a perfect world. That's a perfect scenario.
Yep.
But I thought maybe a couple of these head coaching candidates would be so impressive that, and not only with the Bears interview, but with the other interviews that they had, that some team would jump and say, we got to get the coach because he's our guy, and then we'll work around it.
Well, let's face it. When George said that he would be open to that possibility, we all jumped on that like, oh, my God, he's going to screw this up. Why? Because he screwed up a lot of stuff.
Well, again, back to Greg's call. We just have to get lucky.
Right. 312-332-3776. We've got a Twitter poll that we're going to wrap up, and we're going to wrap up this show at noon, and we'll be right back to do that here on ESPN 1000. All right, Brian, we've got a few things happening today. Among them, Bulls are taking on the Magic down in Orlando. Orlando Magic, 8-39. Even though we're missing LaVine and Ball and Caruso. Boy, it'd be nice to get that win just to get a W.
Yeah, well, the good news is there's no snow down there. They'll enjoy the trip, and they should enjoy a win no matter, right?
Yeah, that's certainly what we're hoping for. We'll take them where we can get them at this situation that we're in with all the injuries and now Caruso being out for an extended period of time. Rams and Bucks early game. We'll see what happens there. The Rams have not lost a playoff game to the Bucks in recent years. They're 2-0.
Yeah, and the odds couple, Carmen DeFalco gave out the Bills over, the Kansas City Bills over, which he had at 54. So if you're looking for a wager, Carmen and Mike North and Randy Merkin, Merk was on, was with me on the Titans yesterday. So, they also gave a prop out, Matt Stafford to throw a pick in interception, -130. They gave that one out. You buying?
I don't think so.
Led the league in picks this year, right?
Yeah.
Although the one thing about Tampa Bay is they've had that banged up secondary all year long. But they still have been able to get a couple turnovers. Like, they got a couple last week against Jalen Hurts. I could definitely see even two, maybe. But I still like the Rams to win the game.
Okay.
Yeah,
but
me too.
You're laying a little juice at -130. But if you think they're going to get two, that's easy money. So
312-332-3776 as we're about to wrap things up. If you want to jump in with any final comments, I know we have this Twitter poll that we have put up there. Brian, you put this up there. This is Fantasyland, but making a deal with the devil, possibly. Aaron Rodgers coming to the Chicago Bears for a year. Next year, say he leaves Green Bay, comes down, acts as a guide to young Justin Fields.
Mentoring Justin Fields.
Yep.
And getting you 12 wins along the way in a depleted division.
Maybe. Yeah. And bringing all the drama. I mean, all of it, the whole package. Would you do it? Would you not do it? We're going to go to Jake for the way this poll is turned out here. Jake, go ahead. Tell us what it looks like.
So, and don't use the foul language that people are using.
No. I'm not going to say any of the comments, but we got 60.1% no, and then yes, 39.9%.
And how many votes on there? Do we have?
707 votes.
Yeah, got some action this morning.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. That's just football stupid. That's just,
it's fandom. It's emotional fandom.
I heard 40% of people don't want to win next year.
That's
what I heard.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, are you kidding me? That's just, what are you watching? What are you looking at? Aaron Rodgers will make that bad offensive line better. He will get you to the playoffs next year in this division. And by the way, he'll be tweaking Green Bay when he does it. I know this is pure fantasy, but you can hate Green Bay from now until the cows come home. And good Lord, my good friend Les Grobstein had a smile on his face, as people point out on Twitter. Because he
Oh, you know
Packers.
He did. I saw that tweet, too.
Yeah, but I mean, and he did. And Bears fans hate the Packers. But if you really wouldn't want at least 1 year of Aaron Rodgers, even at 38, and I get it, he didn't win Super Bowls, but guess what? He gets you to the playoffs, then help me. I don't know what you want to do.
Now, would that delay any type of other improvement because of the money he would want? Well, again, this is fantasy land.
Right. You have to trade for him, you pay him, whatever. I'm just saying it's not happening.
Right.
But the point of the question was, you can hate the Packers, you can hate Aaron Rodgers, but he's a hell of a quarterback. Yeah. I mean, really, would you rather see what you just saw for the last 3 years in an offense that was just, you know what, on a stick? Come on now.
You know, and considering all things, the idea for me, still being a fan first, of Aaron wearing a Bears uniform, it's just really weird and not that appealing. However, given the fact that he would be extracted out of Green Bay, and you have Minnesota, the shape they're in, Green Bay, the new shape they'll find themselves in.
Hey,
and
if
Detroit.
You're celebrating the Packers' misery and celebrating like the Bears just won a Super Bowl, then you're cementing Green Bay's misery for years to come.
Yeah, that would. You know, that's true.
Right.
312-332-3776. And, you know, nothing in – I'm looking every day for baseball news, and it doesn't look like anything's going to get started on time, which is just – I cannot believe they're both so short-sighted. And you can take either side. It doesn't matter. They're both holding this thing up. And in this day and time where the pandemic is affecting everybody's lives, how can they afford to really do that?
Well, there's no hard deadline. But everyone's like, oh, you know, February 1st, well, good luck on that. That's not happening.
Right.
Well, first opening day, that's as long as you can have 2 weeks of spring training. Yeah, you could. But there's been no movement. I mean,
none
on any of the major issues. And here we sit on, what, the 22nd, 3rd, January 23rd, whatever it is. And tell me how they're going to get all the major issues done in a matter of a month or so.
They're not. And I had so much hope. We talked to Jesse about this, you know, leading into the lockout, did a show with him, and he gave me some hope.
The Players Association is supposed to get back to him this week, right, with the counter proposals to some of the
– Yes.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. I mean, we'll see if there's any movement. As Jesse did say, he normally is a player's guy, but he kind of, at least in our conversation – said that the players are being a bit more unrealistic than the owners, but again, billionaires fighting with millionaires, it's hard to, right. to pick a side, right?
Yeah, you know, and that's interesting because I thought it was the other way, but, you know, I certainly give Jesse a lot of credit for the insight, and that's a shame. That's a shame. Either I don't care who is leading this dysfunction, it still is dysfunction, and it is just going to screw with the fandom because there are so many... There's so many reasons to walk away from watching or getting involved in baseball.
But my understanding is the teams are still sending out invoices for season tickets.
Of course they are.
Right?
Of course they are.
Okay,
yep.
And if I'm a Cubs fan, if I'm a Cubs fan and those are very expensive tickets and that's a big check to write year in, year out, I'd really have to think long and hard as to whether I want to keep spending that money.
I can't imagine anybody being excited about spending their money, and all of the prices are going up. They're not going down because of this.
No, but you know, the fear is if you've had these tickets like Bears fans, you know, for decades, and I know
you
friends of mine
them.
Have
yeah,
had
you Cubs, lose them, it's
Cubs
hard to
tickets.
Get them
right,
back.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah,
you're like, you're going to miss out. All of a sudden they're going to be good in 2 years and you had really nice seats and you love all the people that sit around you because everyone re-ups every year and it becomes a social thing. And so, you know, you miss all that.
Well, let's hope we have something to talk about this time next week, both with the Bears and maybe even baseball. Tyler Aki, thank you to him. Jay Cantu, thank you to him. I'm Xander. Brian Hanley, thank you for hanging. We'll be talking to you again next week, and enjoy the football today. It's ESPN 1000.